Hirschfeld.
Oh, shut up, said Glod. I don't know what he's not going to like.
Well, for a start, said Ashfeld, the main thing, the thing he won't like most, is, we've got the money.
Cliff reached down under the seat. There was a dull clinking noise, of the sort made by a lot of gold keeping nice and quiet. The stage was trembling with the vibration of the stamping. There was some shouting now. Dibbler turned to Crash and grinned horribly.
Hey, I've just had a great idea, he said.
A tiny shape swarmed up the road from the river. Ahead of it, the lights of the stage glowed in the dusk. The Arch-Chancellor nudged Ponder and flourished his staff.
Now, he said, if there's a sudden rip in reality and horrible screaming things come through, our job is to...
He scratched his head.
What is it the Dean says? Kick a righteous donkey.
Some righteous ass, sir, said Ponder. He says, kick some righteous ass.
Ridcully peered at the empty stage.
I don't see one, he said.
The four members of the band sat up and stared straight ahead over the moonlit plain. Finally, Cliff broke the silence.
How much?
Best part of $5,000.
$5,000?
Cliff clamped his huge hand over Glod's mouth.
Why?
Said Cliff as the dwarf squirmed.
More bottle, roro.
I got a bit confused, said Ashfeld. Sorry.
We'll never get far enough, said Cliff. You know that, not even if we die.
I tried to tell you all, Ashfeld moaned. Maybe we could take it back.
How can we do that?
Glod, said Cliff, in a reasonable tone of voice, I'm going to take my hand away, and you're not to shout, right?
Okay.
Take it back! $5,000!
I suppose some of that is ours, said Cliff, tightening his grip.
I know I haven't had any wages, said Ashfeld.
Let's get to Quirm, said Buddy urgently. We can take out what's ours and send the rest back to him.
Cliff scratched his chin with his free hand.
Some of it belongs to Chryso, praise, said Ashfeld. Mr. Dibbler borrowed some money off him to set up the festival.
We won't get away from him, said Cliff, except if we drive all the way to the rim and chuck ourselves over. Even then, only maybe.
We could explain, couldn't we? Said Ashfeld.
A vision of Chrysoprase's gleaming marble head formed in their vision.
No.
Quirm, then, said Buddy.
Cliff's diamond teeth glittered in the moonlight.
I thought, he said, I thought I heard something on the road back there. Sounded like harness.
The invisible beggars began to wander away from the park. Foul old Ron's smell had stayed on for a while because it was enjoying the music, and Mr. Scrub still hadn't moved.
We got nearly 20 sausages,
said Arnold sideways. Coffin Henry coughed a cough with bones in it.
Bugger 'em, said Foul Old Ron. I told 'em, spying on me with rays.
Something bounded across the trodden turf towards Mr. Scrub, ran up his robe and grabbed either side of his hood with both paws. There was the hollow sound of two skulls meeting. Mr. Scrub staggered backwards.
Squeak!
Mr. Scrub blinked and sat down suddenly. The beggars stared down at the little figure jumping up and down on the cobbles. Being of an invisible nature themselves, they were naturally good at seeing things unseen by other men, or in the case of Foul Old Ron, by any known eyeball.
That's a rat, said Duckman.
Bugger it, said Foul Old Ron.
The rat pranced in circles on its hind legs, squeaking loudly. Mr. Scrub blinked again, and Death stood up.
I have to go, he said.
Squeak!
Death strode away, stopped and came back. He pointed a skeletal finger at the duck man.
Why, he said, are you walking around with that duck?
What duck?
Ah, sorry. Listen, how can it go wrong? Said Crash, waving his hands frantically. It's got to work. Everyone knows that when you get your big chance because the star is ill or something, then the audience will go mad for you. It happens every time, right?
Jimbo